industry recruiters. Let us give you the competitive edge. Call 287-8380 for a free consultative interview. Go ahead. Love your job.
Looks like we have some sunshine today. Gorgeous day. A high near 70 degrees. Mostly clear tonight with a low down to 43. And then Tuesday, some sunshine with a high of 79. Wednesday, more sunshine. A high of 90. Let's try it. 89, at least for the official high. And then Thursday, it looks like some sun, some clouds, maybe a shower, maybe even a thunderstorm. And that's your same forecast for Friday. We currently have 61 right now in downtown Butler. I'm Tracy Morgan in the NextTier Bank studios of WISR, 680 a.m. with your news at noon. NextTier Bank, your hometown community bank. News time, now 12:31. Dave Malarkey's up next with It's Your Turn. Have a good day.
And now, It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's Your Turn. Weekdays from 12:30 to 2 on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's Your Turn. 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
Well, good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the Monday edition of It's Your Turn. Gorgeous day, and what a forecast, at least for the bulk of this week. Now, we are looking at probably a rain day on Thursday, but otherwise, wow. Wow. This is stuff we haven't seen since April, to be honest with you. The first half of the month of May was lousy weather-wise. I mean, how else can you put it? It was either cold or wet, or cloudy, or windy. And some days it was everything of that. Remember we had the storm, we had tornadoes a couple of weeks ago. Yeah. So it's been a lousy month, quite frankly, so far. But things have changed. It's a little breezier than the weather folks thought it was going to be right now, but otherwise we're fine. That's beautiful. And as you just heard Tracy say, about 70 today, and we're already up into the low 60s, and it's only the noon hour. And near 80 tomorrow, and then hard to believe, but they say near 90 on Wednesday, day after tomorrow. Wow. Well, maybe. Who knows? I guess most folks would say about time, huh? Yeah. So get the flowers in. Get ready for some of the plants. Of course, cold weather plants. You know, if you have in your backyard garden, if you have lettuce, what else is cold weather? Stands up well. There are a number of vegetables that you can start growing early. I mean, cabbage is pretty hardy, isn't it? Other stuff you have to wait. In fact, as Doug Oster was telling us, even after Memorial Day for some tomatoes, get a variety that matures more quickly. He said he plants his last tomato. He plants some early. Plants his last ones 4th of July, and they're beautiful. Anyway, it's a fun time of the year if you're a backyard gardener or even if you have just a few flowers by the front door. Yeah, it's nice. Get the picnic tables out. Get the swing ready to go. The back porch or the backyard swing, right? Summer is just around the corner. You realize 2 weeks from today, Memorial Day. Eh? Did you realize that? Yeah, Pat Parker, our engineer, on the other side of the glass, shakes his head. I didn't realize that. 2 weeks from today. Well, open talk to begin the program. I am looking forward to our first guest who will be with us a little bit later on the program today. He's Andrew Weil, MD, medical doctor, Dr. Andrew Weil, who is a prolific author. He's a believer in holistic medicine, natural medicine. You may have seen him on PBS. I don't know how you could have missed him, quite frankly. He used to be on PBS all the time. He's the guy with the white beard, very distinctive looking, Andrew Weil. I'm not just a little beard like some of the actors have today. I'm talking about a big, full Santa Claus type white beard, and no hair on top. So he is a distinctive looking gentleman, And he's a Harvard-trained medical doctor. He's published a new book. I think it's his, I don't know what it is. I mean, he's got at least a dozen of them. So we'll talk to him. I've never chatted with him before. I don't remember anyway. I ever talked to him before. We'll have him on with us later on the program today, Dr. Andrew Weil. And by the way, his latest book, it talks about knowing when drugs are necessary and when they're not. And we hear a lot these days about people using too many drugs. Yeah. And still later on the program today, we'll have a couple of guests with us to talk about the Northwest Pennsylvania Growers Cooperative and their summer share program with regard to organic gardening and local farming. And a lot of folks are going for that these days. They want vegetables as fresh as you can possibly get them. So we'll tell you all about that a little bit later on the program today as well. Good stuff to talk about on the Monday edition of It's Your Turn. And before I forget, let me tell you that tomorrow we are most happy and we will have a huge welcome back for Dr. Dennis Damon. Ask the veterinarian, Dr. Damon, who's been battling some health issues, is going to be back with us tomorrow. How about that? I can't wait to see him again. So that'll be tomorrow, not today. 12:30. We'll kick off with Ask the Veterinarian tomorrow. Okay, open talk right now, 283-2525. Did I even say that? I'm not sure that I did. Open talk on the first portion of the program today. 283-2525. 283-2525. Election day tomorrow. Well, you going to vote? It's kind of scary to think. The voter turnout is traditionally very poor for the first election after a presidential race, and especially when it's municipal, because it's all local stuff. Hey, that should make it even more important for you to vote, because your vote really counts. Yeah. Okay, let's get to the people here. We don't want to keep people waiting any longer than necessary. Our phone number here on Open Talk is 283-2525. Hi, caller. This is Dave Malarkey. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Okay, thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Hi.
I was sitting here thinking back when I was a boy in the 60s, it was an expression, Afghanistanism, which meant you focused on these exotic places throughout the world rather than dealing with the problems locally.
Hmm.
We're still in Afghanistan now, 16 years.
Yeah, yeah.
Why?
You're right. It's the longest war in the history of the United States by far.
Yeah, but nobody even talks about all the enormous waste we've... except we don't want to leave because we don't want to disappoint somebody. And I don't know who that somebody is. Can somebody tell me why we're still in Afghanistan? We were in there to stop the Taliban. We're still fighting the Taliban in Afghanistan. And they did nothing to me or anyone that I know except in Afghanistan. Well, they thought they should be running the country.
Well, I'm with you, quite frankly. And it was one of, to me at least, the major disappointments of the Obama administration that he did not...
completely get out.
Yeah, completely get out.
Most of the way, but... unfortunately, he didn't do it. Now we want to go back in there.
Well, Trump announced just last week, beginning of last week it was, that he wanted to send, what is it, 4,000 more troops? Or the generals have requested that.
Thereabouts or above that, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah,
and what for what purpose?
I don't know.
Nobody even, don't people realize what that's doing to our economy, all that enormous waste, and nobody complains to people like Mike Kelly, who continues to support that war.
Well, some people may not realize. Actually, I'm glad you brought that up, because if you ask people, you know, when men on the street, how long have we been at war in Afghanistan, many people would be shocked to find out that it's 16 years. 16 years. World War II lasted for the United States. World War II lasted 4 years. And it was actually, it was December of 1941, so it was the very tail end of 1941 that we were drawn into the war, Pearl Harbor, and the war ended in 1945.
And there was some reason for it. It was a very immediate purpose to that war for the people of the United States and Europe and Asia, whereas Afghanistan, Alexander didn't like it that place. And what are we doing there? Will someone please tell me that? If you can find anybody that can give me a good reason why Afghanistan hasn't been returned to the dialogue.
You're correct. Alexander the Great left it more recently.
The Soviet Union.
Yeah, the Soviet Union had invaded Afghanistan. They left. Here's the super irony, though. Whenever the Soviets invaded Afghanistan, they were fighting the Taliban. And guess who armed the Taliban? We did. Because they were fighting the Soviets. And, you know,
we gave them wonderful missiles.
Yeah, we gave them all kind of weapons and stuff like that. And now we're fighting them with they're fighting us with our own weapons that we gave them during the last time they were invaded.
This isn't a joke. And that's the sad part of it.
It's true.
Costing my nieces and nephews a future.
And
that's what happened to the Soviet Union. That destroyed the Soviet Union with their invasion in that part of the world.
That's one of the reasons why they went belly up, yeah.
Yes. So,
and to what point would be, you know, to put a conclusion to the discussion here, you know, to what point are we still fighting there?
What's my point? Why are we there?
Yeah.
And if someone can tell me that, then I'll be able to examine it. But at this moment, I have the Taliban were condemned because of the way they were treating the people who were under them. But since then, I found out that all Afghani leaders treat their people that way. And I'm sorry to rant on like this, but it just is frustrating for me to think 16 years we're wasting all this energy and the future of your children.
And money, but not so much money that their lives lost and,
yes, and
horribly
and
wounded.
People, yeah. On both sides, yes.
Yeah. Thanks, my friend, for the call. I agree with you. It's frustrating.
Thank you for taking my time.
Sure. Thank you.
283-2525.
How can you not be frustrated? 16-year war. You know, the Civil War was practically a blink compared to that. World War II, 4 years. World War I, the United States got involved in World War I late. It was 1918 before we even got involved. It had been going on for some time prior to that with England, France, and Germany, the main combatants. But our time over there, again, compared to this war, relatively brief. 16 years. Yeah, we went into Afghanistan in late 01. Here we are now, 2017. 16 years later. And more troops apparently on the way. At least that was the word last week. 283-2525 is the number. 283-2525. Open talk here on the It's Your Turn program today, the Monday edition. Smack dab in the middle of May we are. This is May 15th. Yeah, halfway point. Let's go to this line next. Hi, caller. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Hi, Dave. How you doing?
Pretty good. How are you today?
Oh, I'm pretty good until I started hearing all the bad news about Afghanistan.
Did you realize we'd been there for 16 years?
Yes, I do, and I agree with the man, but I think us talking on Butler Station is probably not going to help much with Afghanistan. We got to talk to our politicians, and evidently they do what they want to do, and they have done that. You know, so I don't know the answer. I think that when he was saying that, I was thinking, man, we got to start focusing on our own country. I mean, it's terrible in the United States anymore as far as I'm concerned with this drug problem. I don't know if this is true, but I was talking to a lady the other night up at Walmart, okay, that's been there a while, and she told me that they actually quit dropping, I don't want to say who she is or anything like that, but they quit dropping the drug tests because they can't find enough employees. There's so many on drugs. They can't find enough that isn't, so they quit taking a drug test on your application. You know, before the employment.
I have no idea what the answer to this opioid and heroin crisis is, because it just keeps getting worse.
I think that the only way that the United States and Butler County, I mean, I've heard from some pretty high up people, not in Butler County, but in the government, that Butler County is, I mean, it's getting worse everywhere. It's terrible everywhere, but Butler County's really bad, you know, compared to the nation in general. And I just think that we need to totally focus, instead of talking about Afghanistan and talking about other things, we need to focus on, like tomorrow, the elections, who's being put in these offices, you know, what's being done with the people we're paying good money to take care of, the law enforcement, you know, what are they really doing, you know, with all the surveillance stuff they got out today. I just can't believe that they can't make more arrests and get big drug pushers instead of these little people that's just addicted, you know.
Very frustrating.
I just think it's terrible, and I think we better start focusing on Butler County and quit worrying about what's happening everywhere else, you know. But that's all I had to say. But I do think the man's right about Afghanistan. Maybe if they put all that money in the United States and just work on drugs, we'd be a lot better off.
It's a thought. Thank you, my friend. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Dave. Sure. Bye.
283-2525 is the number. Open talk. 283-2525. Yes. Hi there. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Hi. In defense of former President Obama, he had every intention of removing the troops from Afghanistan, and you know what? The opposition put roadblocks up there for him, and I don't know how they did it, but they did it.
Well,
and I don't see why anybody can give him any credit. He's done an excellent job, but the one you still there?
I'm still Hall. Yeah, yes.
But the one we have in there, he's nothing but a warmonger, and he's going to get us in a lot of trouble. That's all I got to say.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Right.
283-2525 is the number. Obama got requests from his generals, is my understanding. That's why he didn't completely withdraw. But I don't know. I think if he had wanted to, he could. I mean, he's the commander-in-chief, right? Doesn't matter if the generals say, we want more troops. I mean, he could say, well, thanks for your advice, but no. 283-2525 is the number, 283-2525, open talk. Hi, caller, Dave here. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Hi, Dave. The reason why we're back in Afghanistan, I was listening to the radio, and they had, is because of drugs. This drug dealer, he's big-time drug dealer. He didn't give his name. He said there is so much opium being demand for it that they won't shut the place down. That there's people making billions every day on it.
Well, there's no question. That's one of the regions where poppies are grown, and opium comes from poppies. But
On the lighter side, I'm taking a survey. Do you care to participate?
Well, it depends on what it is.
It's yes or no, real easy. Did you ever see a dog wearing a wristwatch?
No, I didn't.
Now you make a majority. Then I did more research on this. You know why you don't see a dog wearing a wristwatch?
Why?
Well, they won't stay on there. They don't have a wrist to begin with, and they can't afford it. They can't tell time. And time to a dog means nothing. They don't know what time is. You know, you can, as long as they have water and food, you can leave them. You can be gone for 10 minutes or 10 hours or a week, and they don't know, they don't realize it, how much time has passed.
It's interesting. We're going to be talking about that tomorrow. That's one of the items I have on the agenda to talk with the veterinarian Dr. Dennis Damon about tomorrow. How smart are dogs?
They are so loyal to the master that if the master dies first, they can't handle it.
Well, in some cases, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah. And the same way with people, too. That's enough for the heavy stuff. I'll see you later, Dave.
Thanks, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you.
832-525 our number. Caller, thanks for waiting. I appreciate your patience. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
I'm not quite sure I agree with the guy about how long a dog remembers things, because mine certainly knows when I'm gone for a couple days.
Yeah, that's
not what I'm calling about.
Yeah, okay.
I'm calling about to find out what you and your listeners seem to think about this $5 registration, vehicle registration tax that could garner the county as much as $900,000 a year, plus a looks like a one-time $2 million grant or whatever, or matching, or you know, almost like a windfall from the state to repair bridges and whatever in this in the county. I personally don't see where the big problem is for me to shell out $5 to be able to drive around the county and have good roads and good bridges. It's a user tax. I mean, if you don't have a vehicle, you don't pay it. And that's kind of what I like to see in all aspects is you pay for what you use. You don't use it, you don't pay for it.
Well, but I've argued that
in this particular case.
Whenever, and we go back now, oh gosh, 7 or 8 years, I guess, to whenever there was a proposal to toll Interstate 80. You remember that?
Oh, sure I do, yeah.
And it's when that was, when the kibosh was put on that by the feds, that's why we end up with the turnpike tolls going up by the astronomical amounts every year. That's what led to that problem, but that's another story. I'm a firm believer in treating the roads like a, you know, a user fee. And what's wrong with that? Now, I got in some pretty good debates with the lawmakers about that. Almost all of our lawmakers around here were opposed to tolling Interstate 80 whenever that was floated. But I said, hey, in terms of even local roads, you know, if you use them more than anybody else, why shouldn't you pay more than anybody else? I think that makes perfect sense.
I tend to agree. You know, it's now granted there are some things that, like the you know in the city and whatever, even in the township, some of the work, we'll call them the work privilege taxes. I don't know what they're actually the word for them is now, but
mm-hmm.
you know we use the services. We should pay for the services.
Yeah, occupation tax, I think they call that.
What is it?
Occupation tax. If you
something like that.
If you work in a municipality but don't live there, you know, you have an occupation tax.
Right. Yep. I really only think it's fair, but I mean, I know the commissioners are kind of, I guess you would say, kind of juggling this one, trying to figure out what's good and what's bad. And I've heard other people say that, okay, this year it's $5. What's to say next year it's not going to be $10 and the year after that $15? And well, that's you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's true with just about anything we do as far as, I guess you call them taxes, is concerned. The only thing they really ever do is go up. But it still seems to me like a pretty reasonable way to get a good bit of money that for people who use the services, not just trying to, you know, increase property taxes or something like that, where people who aren't using the services tend to have to bear the brunt.
Well, I think you make a good argument there. Yeah. Well, thank you, my friend.
Have a good afternoon.
And you, thanks for sharing your thoughts with us.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yep.
283-2525. What do you think about that proposed $5? It would be a fee whenever you renew your registration. You used to send in your money, and you got a little sticker to go in the corner of your license plate. They don't send out stickers anymore, but you still have to pay the fee. There would be $5 extra added if you live in Butler County per year, to help cover the cost of repairing county-owned bridges, $5 a year. It would be automatically added to the invoice you get from Harrisburg, and then Harrisburg would return the money. 283-2525 is our number. Open talk on the program today, 283-2525. Hi, caller. This is Dave Malarkey. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Hi.
A couple points about the last caller made.
Mm-hmm.
One, Pennsylvania has the highest gas tax in the nation, and the gasoline tax is supposed to be used for our roads and bridges, our infrastructure. He did make a valid point with the, we have no assurance that this is a one-time tax and that it won't escalate every year. I don't know if you've been out in Clinton Township lately at the corner of 228, where it goes off onto Ekus Road and Knock Road. They're putting in a $5 million roundabout mm-hmm. on the two-lane highway. I think we need better management. Dave, if you have a budget for the year, you work to live within that budget. You don't expect I'm going to do a deficit this year, and then I'm going to double that deficit next year and the following year. I think we need more of that in county, state, and federal government.
Well, let me respond to a couple of your comments. First of all, I, too, am a little bit leery about, will it go up once you approve $5? Is that the start down a slippery slope? We were talking about this last week one day. I cited the tax at the liquor stores to help recover from the Johnstown flood. It was enacted in 1936. To the best of my knowledge, we're still paying it.
How many of these one-time taxes?
Yeah. Now, one of your other points, though, just to be clear, state gasoline tax, it's very high. I wasn't sure that it was the highest, but I know it's one of the highest. However, that's a state tax, remember now, and that's state highways and state bridges. What we're talking about here is county-owned bridges. There are more than 100 of them in Butler County that are owned by the county. So it's the county's responsibility to maintain and replace, when necessary, those bridges, not the state.
Thank you for clarifying that.
Sure. Oh, it's fine. A lot of people didn't realize there were that many county-owned bridges. Now, these are generally smaller bridges, okay? They're bridges nonetheless, and when you get one that collapses or becomes unsafe, it's very expensive, even if it's just a bridge over a creek, you know.
Yeah, I was on the Freeport Trail just over the weekend, and I saw they're replacing the bridge there in Cabot, where I usually access the trail, and I thought, okay, there's some of our tax dollars at work.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was one that I remember, it's probably 10, 15 years ago now, but it was just outside of Bruin. Where there was a small bridge over a creek along the Bruin North Washington Road, and a logging truck was crossing the bridge, fell right through. Obviously, the bridge was destroyed, and it was a county-owned bridge. So here's this massive bill for the county because it wasn't a state road, it wasn't a state bridge. You know?
Right.
So just a point of clarification.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you for the call. I appreciate your thoughts. Thanks. 283-2525 is our number. Open talk today on the It's Your Turn program. Hi, caller. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Hello?
Hi. How are you?
Yes. The county commissioner's having this meeting, but they're having it in the daytime where all the people are working. Most of the people, anybody that doesn't work, I'm just saying, mm-hmm. I can't go to it because they're having a 10:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
How can you go and voice your opinion and then they don't take your phone calls?
Well, I'd send a letter or a note if you feel that strongly about it. The meetings are, they're not purposefully doing that to exclude people.
Well, I know that, during the daylight, but most of the people work during daylight hours. Mm-hmm. If they want, while we're on the meeting, why don't they have different hours during the different times of the month, see, hey, here's this one for the people who work during that daylight, and here's one people mm-hmm. work for the nighttime.
I hear you. Their meetings are at 10 o'clock in the morning and have been. They tried about a dozen years ago something that you're talking about, and they trying to remember who were the commissioners then, Dr. King and Mr. Montgomery, and I can't remember them all. But,
wow, you're going way back then.
Well, yeah, as I said, it's 12, 15 years ago. But they tried moving the county commissioners' meetings around. Every month they would be at a different location in the various townships and municipalities around the country. It would be in Evans City, they'd be in Saxonburg, whatever. And nobody came. Nobody came. I know because I was covering the county commissioners' meeting at that time.
Did they get a lot of people up there now, do you know?
Oh, they usually have 10, 15, something like that, unless there's an issue of great import.
Can I say something else, sir?
Of course.
Oh, the state complaining about, like, okay, they're fixing all these roads, they need all this money to fix their bridges and interstate mm-hmm. highways. The mm-hmm. state does. That's why they have all this gas tax. But they don't even have them all fixed, and they're planning on building new highways. I have four bald tires. I don't go out and buy a new radio for my car. I fix my four bald tires and my radio, then proceed to go do. It's like Moraine State Park. They're going to put a new entranceway up there, the thing, so people have easy access to Moraine State Park. There's only 1 million people to visit Moraine State Park a year.
You make a good point. I can't argue with that.
And then they're going to put another exit off of 528 to get on the I-79. You can drive right down to Zillionople, get on Interstate 79 North, but they say, oh, it'd be convenient. That's mm-hmm. that I don't understand. They don't have all the bridges fixed yet, because they want to build new roads.
I hear you. I have no argument with that, my friend.
All right. Thank you.
Oh, no. Thank you. Thanks for joining us today. Appreciate your call. Thank you. 283-2525, the number, open talk. Hi, caller. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Regarding the $5 fee,
mm-hmm.
Do you know anyone who doesn't, in one way or another, use the highways and the bridges and all that? I mean, why shouldn't everyone have to pay? And then you wouldn't have to pay so much per person.
You mean even
if you... I mean, if they're going to charge you for it, well, charge everybody. Because they use it whether they have a car or not.
Yeah. Well, that's a point, but on the other hand, they're not charging a driver, they're charging the car itself. You know, you would pay a $5
fee.
Well,
the car wouldn't go without a driver while they're getting there, but I hope they don't get much farther with that.
My point is, if the $5 fee is on the vehicle, then...
Well, they can change the wording. They're good at that, saying one thing and meaning something else.
If it's on the vehicle, then that kind of covers everybody that's in there. That was my point, you know.
Well... The vehicle, they use vehicles whether they're driving them or not.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Anyhow, I don't think it's fair.
I hear you.
Because everyone uses the highways and bridges and all that junk, and why should they make only certain people pay for it?
Okay.
Okay, bye.
Thanks. 283-2525, open talk. Everybody seems to be focusing on the proposed $5 fee per vehicle, per annum, every year. That the county commissioners are thinking about. Hi, caller. This is Dave Malarkey. Go right ahead. It's your turn. Hello there.
Why would you send it to Harrisburg? Why not keep it in the county?
I think that's probably to avoid the administration cost of collecting the fee. I mean, all you got to do in Harrisburg is, you just punch a key on a computer, and instead of paying $36, you pay $41. And, that's it.
Yeah, but you send it to Harrisburg, you don't know if they're going to give it back to you or not. Mm-hmm. All of it or part of it. Well, how can you trust those people? Well, you keep it in the county.
I hear you, but, we have an idea of how many cars there are, how many vehicles there are, so if there was any massive, shortchanging, I think you'd know about it. I don't know. I mean, I haven't talked to the commissioners personally, but my guess is it's because they wouldn't have to set up an office and hire people to and then send out a bill and collect it and tabulate it. There would be a considerable administrative expense to collect it locally. You understand what I mean?
Well, yeah, but I still.
Well, it's, once that's set up, especially today with electronic payments and everything, look at what almost all the school districts have done. Instead of having their local tax office, which they used to do, now most of them use an agency, many of them around here use Berkheimer, and they collect the school taxes, and they do it so that, the Butler Area School District, for example, they don't even have a tax office anymore. It used to be up in the administration building. That's where you went to pay your taxes.
And they cheat you, too.
Thank you, my friend. I appreciate the call.
Well, they do.
Well, what do you mean by that?
Well, I did my taxes that one year, and they had some astronomical figure, and I went back down to the people that did the taxes, and they looked it over, and they said, no, you need to take this back.
Oh, it was an error, huh?
Wow. And they said, oh, no, you got to pay it. You know, it's like, excuse me? Where'd you go to school? How do you do math?
I can understand you being upset at that.
And whenever I was in the service, I was told by the military that whenever you're in the service and overseas, you don't pay taxes. And yet they billed me, and my mother would send the tax forms, and I'd fill the damn things out and send them back, not knowing. And one of the officers asked me what I was doing, and I said, I'm doing my taxes. And he said, you don't do taxes when you're in service.
Hmm.
And then I only had a couple of money order stubs, and they had the book open. They had it all right there. But if I didn't have the stub, they wouldn't reimburse.
Yeah, that's too bad. First time I've heard that story.
They're dishonest.
Thanks, my friend. Got to move on. Thank you. Thanks. 283-2525. This is the last call we have time for today. Caller, you've got the last word. Please go right ahead. It's your turn.
Hello.
Hi.
I just wanted to agree with that woman also. If you ride the bus, you use the roads. If you ride in somebody else's car, you use the roads. So if you go anywhere other than walking, you're using those roads. So therefore, everybody's using them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it, well, number one, I'm not in favor of it because, the water bill goes up, the school taxes go up, $5 more for the license. I mean, just, oh, it's only $5. It's only $5 to them. But when all those things come out of my pocket, it becomes a lot more.
That's an excellent point, yes.
Yeah. So I think they should consider that. So thank you very much. Have a beautiful day.
And you. Thanks. A lot of good thoughts today. Huh? People making good points. Andrew Weil, MD. Coming up next, he's going to be our first guest on the program today, and we will talk with Andrew Weil coming up in just a couple of moments. One of our sponsors on the program today, our good friends at Schnoor's Greenhouse. Schnoor's just off Herman Road. For 125 years, it's been the place to grow. They've been family-owned and operated since 1889. That's not 1989, that's 1889. Wow. You talk about Butler's longtime trusted greenhouse, that's Schnoor's Greenhouse. And they are just buzzing right now with gorgeous annuals and hanging baskets and vegetables. Tremendous selection to choose from. Just about any flower plant you can imagine, they've got it. They've got it. Gift cards, too. Off of Herman Road, look for Schnoor Road by the RC Men's Club. You can't miss it. For 125 years, Schnoor's Greenhouse. It's been the place to grow.
Who can you trust to do it right, respectfully? When it comes to pet cremation, a respected name in Butler provides impeccable service. Butler Pet Cremation and Glenn Thompson Miller offer a sensitive, caring service for that sensitive time. And here's what we pledge. Your pet will be cremated individually in our impeccable facility here in Butler. We assure you that the cremains are assuredly your pets and your pets alone. But before you make your decision, ask how other facilities perform. Individual cremation? It's an important and sensitive question. Bring your pet to us or we'll go to your home. We promise dignity and loving care. When the time comes, tell your veterinarian that you prefer Butler Pet Cremation and Glenn Thompson Miller. He's a pet parent too. Call us at 724-287-3707 or contact us at www.butlerpetcremation.com.
What a treat, folks, to be able to chat on the It's Your Turn program today. By the way, if you're just joining us on WISR, my name is Dave Malarkey. Special guest on this segment is Dr. Andrew Weil, MD. We want to talk about his latest book, Mind Over Meds. Dr. Weil, nice to meet you. Boy, it's terrific.
Thank you for having me.
I'm sure that thousands of our listeners have seen you on television, perhaps many times. Are you still doing specials on PBS, or is that finished now?
I haven't done that in a while. I appear on other things, but I haven't done PBS specials in a while.
Mm-hmm. However, you do have a website, and gosh, how many books now? This makes what, 14, 15?
14.
14, wow. Mind Over Meds is the title, but the subtitle, folks, tells you a lot. Know when drugs are necessary, when alternatives are better, and when to let your body heal on its own. That's a mouthful, but covers a lot of different areas that I'd like to talk with you about, Dr. Wall. First of all, we read a lot these days about how some bugs are becoming resistant to antibiotics due to the fact that antibiotics have been overused.
Well, I think there's a real cautionary tale here. Antibiotics are fantastic tools, and we have lost their power because of our misuse of them. We've squandered antibiotics by using them in situations when they're not necessary. My gut estimate is that they're necessary in about 10% of the instances in which they're now prescribed. And that's not even looking at all of the antibiotics we give to the animals we raise for food that we use in agriculture. We have driven the evolution of bacteria in very bad directions, creating nasty bugs that are resistant to the latest generation of antibiotics, and we're going to lose those. There's a serious talk now among infectious disease specialists about what we're going to have to do when we no longer have antibiotics.
The bacteria, is that a relatively quick process for them to develop a resistance to these drugs?
Bacteria mutate, they reproduce every 20 minutes. They mutate very fast, so their evolution happens very quickly. Now, antibiotics are powerless against viruses, and countless antibiotics are given to people with viral infections. And the problem is on the part of both doctors and patients. Patients have a bad upper respiratory infection. Doesn't get better as fast as they think it should. They demand an antibiotic. Doctors give in to that. And every time a patient takes an antibiotic, needlessly, it is affecting the evolution of bacteria.
Mm-hmm. And patients do ask for, even demand things these days, a lot of that because they see commercials on TV.
Correct. And, you know, the book is about over-medication. The use of medications has skyrocketed, both prescription and over-the-counter. I think many of these are unnecessary. Many of them are dangerous. Many of them actually worsen conditions. So in the book, I look at the categories of medications that I'm most concerned about, that I think are most misused, overused, in addition to antibiotics, things like statins, medications for GERD, antihistamines, sleep aids, steroids, psychiatric medications, opioids, and so forth. And I tell people, you know, what the benefits and risks of these are and how you can manage conditions with other methods before you resort to medication.
You mentioned medications for GERD. What's GERD, Dr. Watt?
That's gastroesophageal reflux. You know, when I was growing up, it didn't exist. People had heartburn, and they treated it with Tums, which is a very safe preparation of chalk, calcium carbonate, mint-flavored. And I think most people understood that heartburn was your stomach's way of telling you that you had mistreated it. Either you ate too much, you ate the wrong foods, the wrong combinations of foods. Now we've totally medicalized this, and we put people on these very powerful drugs like the PPIs, the proton pump inhibitors like Nexium, that block acid production in the stomach. When you take those for any length of time, it's very difficult to get off them because you try to reduce the dose and the stomach pours out more acid than you had to begin with, and your symptoms get much worse. These drugs are not safe in long-term use. There are many problems associated with them, the latest being an association with increased risk of dementia. But the real problem is you can't get off them once you start.
For listeners joining us a few minutes late on this segment, if it's your turn here on WISR, our guest is Andrew Weil, M.D. I'm kind of assuming that almost everyone knows Andrew Weil or has heard of him or has seen him. Maybe there's a handful who have not. As he mentioned, he's written 14 books now. He's a graduate of Harvard College and Harvard Medical School. He is a professor of public health, clinical professor of medicine, and the Lavelle Jones Professor of Integrative Rheumatology at the University of Arizona, Dr. Andrew Weil. What about using drugs for rather common conditions? Respiratory
infection.
How about
sleep? How about sleep?
Sleep would be a very good one, yes. What about
you know, an awful lot of people in this country don't get enough sleep or they don't get sleep of good quality, and many of them try to deal with it by taking medications, either prescription or over-the-counter. all of these drugs fail to reproduce natural sleep. They give a kind of counterfeit sleep. For example, they all suppress dreaming, and dreaming is essential to good health, good mental health, good physical health. Many of them create dependence and even severe addiction. I think they can be used for very short-term management of situational insomnia due to travel or a death in the family, but you should never rely on them long-term. There are, you know, you want to pay attention to all the factors that affect sleep. This is called sleep hygiene, everything from the comfort of a mattress to aches and pains to not being able to turn your mind off. And there are ways of dealing with these problems, and there's some safe natural remedies for sleep, like the herb valerian and melatonin, which people can use in place of these medications.
What about the common cold or respiratory infections, a lot of over-the-counter stuff, antihistamines, for example?
Well, the fact is that none of these really help, and in many cases they actually prolong the problem by enabling people to go about their business rather than resting. Antihistamines are a particular problem. They have really undesirable effects on the mind. Some of the older ones, like Benadryl, are now associated with increased risk of dementia. We've been through a bad hay fever season in many parts of the country. There's an excellent natural remedy for hay fever, the herb nettles. You can get capsules of freeze-dried nettle leaves. These work better than any antihistamine I've ever tried. You take them every 2 to 4 hours as needed, no side effects, inexpensive. And when you rely on them, the allergies tend to subside over time.
A lot of folks mix up a cold, a common cold, with the flu. Symptoms are sometimes similar, but they're extremely different, are they not?
Caused by different viruses, attack different parts of the respiratory system. Flu is a much more serious disease. It has serious complications, especially in the elderly, people with existing respiratory diseases, and there's some very bad flus that come around once in a while. The flu vaccine, the annual flu vaccine, is controversial. It's not clear how much protection it gives. We have some antiviral drugs, like Tamiflu for flu. If you take them early enough, they shorten the duration of flu. In most cases, flu gets better on its own, and it's not really helped by the medications that are out there.
What about steroids? I'm no expert here, but that's like cortisone, isn't it?
Yes, prednisone, cortisone, these are very powerful anti-inflammatory agents. They're used for autoimmune conditions, severe allergies, many things. They have a lot of risks in long-term use. They have extreme toxicity. And I think the lesson about them is that they should be saved for very severe conditions, and when you use them, you want to try to get off them as soon as you can by finding other methods to keep the condition controlled. And then slowly wean down the dose of the steroid. And they should never be used for trivial things like poison ivy and diaper rash. And, I see steroid creams and steroid preparations given for those. They should be saved for really serious conditions.
Now, people are concerned about use of steroids, overuse, abuse of steroids. They say, well, there's non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, but I'm reading that they could be dangerous too, Dr. Watt.
Absolutely. I mean, first of all, they can greatly increase risks of gastrointestinal bleeding. We see really significant numbers of deaths each year from people that have stomach bleeds or intestinal bleeds, often people that had no prior symptoms to warn them of the irritation that they were experiencing. There are other problems with these drugs, too, and the fact that they're so readily available over-the-counter in so many different forms, this is, Motrin, Advil, Aleve, so forth, encourages people to think that these are benign drugs that can be used casually. I think they are useful, again, for short-term management of inflammatory conditions and pain, but you should be really cautious about using them regularly.
We're talking, listeners, with Andrew Weil, MD. His latest book is called Mind Over Meds. And we have a couple of more minutes we're able to chat with Dr. Weil. We'll pick up our conversation with him here on It's Your Turn on WISR right after these words.
Does your pharmacy tell you your wait time for a prescription will take a half an hour or longer, or maybe won't even be ready until the next day? Don't think this is your only option. At Institute Hill Pharmacy, we have made it a priority to take care of our customers' needs first because your time is precious. Most wait times are under 10 minutes. So don't you think it's time to make a switch to Institute Hill Pharmacy, located at 937 East Jefferson Street, or find us on Facebook, Institute Hill Pharmacy, an old-fashioned pharmacy just the way you remember.
Welcome back. We're pleased to be able to chat with Andrew Weil, M.D. His latest book is called Mind Over Meds. Subtitle, Know When Drugs Are Necessary, When Alternatives Are Better, and When to Let Your Body Heal on Its Own. We should take a couple of minutes to talk specifically about opioids, Dr. Weil, because we are hearing more and more these days about how these super powerful drugs can very, very quickly lead to dependency and addiction.
Opioids are great drugs for the treatment of acute pain. We have nothing better. But they are not good for the long-term management of chronic pain syndrome, which has become much more common in our society, a lot of it due to returning injured war veterans. And I think there is a consensus now among medical experts that opioids should never be used as standalone treatment for chronic pain, that the treatment of chronic pain has to be integrative and individualized, meaning that you use a whole array of other therapies, everything from yoga, mind-body approaches like relaxation, hypnosis, manual medicine like chiropractic or osteopathic manipulation, dietary change, appropriate physical activity, various natural remedies, acupuncture. Now, opioids can be used in the context of these other therapies, but if they're used as standalone treatment, big trouble.
And, of course, people get addicted to some of these opioid medications and then are unable to get the prescription refilled time after time. And many times they turn to heroin. So that's
exactly
another problem by itself. In your book, you talk specifically about psychiatric medication for children and for adolescents. And this is something new, isn't it? I mean, I don't know. When I was
yes,
a kid, I don't remember this in my any.
No,
my class,
what about the image of kids lining up in class for their medications every day? I mean, it's a scene out of a movie about a mental health ward. This is appalling. And the numbers of kids who are on psychiatric medication is enormous and growing, and I have to say we are doing a vast experiment with our children because we have no idea what the long-term effects of these drugs are on the developing brain, and that's a real concern. And some of the practices really make me alarmed. One is that giving antipsychotic drugs along with antidepressant drugs to make the antidepressants work better because the antidepressants really don't work so well. I mean, antipsychotic drugs were designed for schizophrenia and major mental illness, and many young people are now, as a first intervention, put on a combination of an antidepressant and an antipsychotic drug.
And, of course, kids are smaller, so there's a danger in overdosing, too, in addition.
They're not little adults. Their bodies are different. They react differently. And medication is often the first thing that we resort to, rather than looking at the complex behavioral, lifestyle, environmental causes of emotional problems.
Dr. Weil, listeners, addresses all of these topics. I'm skimming here, of course, in the interest of time, but he addresses all of these in much greater detail in his book, Mind Over Meds. And then there's over-medication of the elderly. This is something that I've not read about. This is a problem, too?
Huge. When I look in the medicine cabinets of old people, often I see a dozen or more prescription medications, often prescribed by different practitioners who probably have not talked to each other. If you're on five or more medications, the possibility of a serious drug-drug interaction is very, very high. There's a service that pharmacists can provide called a medication therapy management review, and I urge both patients and doctors to take advantage of it. A pharmacist can advise, look over all your medications, tell you which are necessary, which are not, which may be duplicative. They can't make changes, but they can advise you and your health provider to make the necessary changes.
What about high blood pressure?
Well, I think these medications are effective. There are many different classes of them, but I think that there's a series of steps that should be taken before you start medication. First, with lifestyle changes such as increasing physical activity, changing diet, practicing relaxation techniques. If you can't get blood pressure in the normal range with that, I think you can start medication, but you want to start with the lowest dose of the least potent agent and work up from there as necessary.
Would the same apply to cholesterol?
Yeah, that's a little more complicated because, you know, there's such enthusiasm for statins. Statins do one thing very effectively. They lower bad LDL cholesterol, but they really don't address the other risk factors that are involved in coronary artery disease, and I think they're prescribed much too widely. So there's a whole chapter in the book on statins about their appropriate uses and things to be concerned about them.
And I'm probably seeing some similarities here in terms of medication for diabetes as well.
Again, you know, the common kind of diabetes, type 2 diabetes, which is now epidemic in our society, is a lifestyle disease. And for mild to moderate diabetes, people at risk, the first approach should always be lifestyle changes, reducing weight, changing diet, increasing physical activity. There are natural remedies that can help keep blood sugar under control. And then only if necessary can you begin the medications. I don't think they should be first-line interventions.
You also have a chapter in your book that deals with medications for preconditions. Most of us have heard these terms, pre-diabetes, even something I've never heard before, pre-osteoporosis.
Yes, this is osteopenia or weakening of bones. Many women are put on these very expensive and potentially toxic bone-building drugs for osteopenia, which is said to be a precondition for osteoporosis. But the fact is that preconditions do not necessarily progress to conditions. You know, what you're really concerned with osteopenia is the risk of fracture. And fracture risk is often not that high in women who are diagnosed with osteopenia, and there's not reason to start these drugs.
I want to make sure that people understand, Dr. Weil, that in your book, Mind Over Meds, you talk about not only the dangers, which we've kind of skimmed over here, but also alternatives, right, for all of these problems.
Yes, in each chapter, there's an integrative medicine treatment plan as to how to manage these conditions before you start medication, with various lifestyle changes, natural remedies, other forms of medicine. And if you do use medication, as I say, you start with the lowest dose of the least potent agent first.
Should physicians be better trained in non-drug
treatments?
Absolutely.
Unfortunately, the prescribing habits of physicians are strongly influenced by the pharmaceutical companies. A lot of the information that they depend on comes from the companies and is not objective, neutral information. And also, medication treatment is the only thing physicians are trained to do. They're not trained in lifestyle medicine. They're not trained in the use of botanical medicine or herbal remedies, dietary supplements. They don't know about how to use acupuncture, mind-body medicine. And so, you know, it's an example of if all you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail.
Mm-hmm. Here in Pennsylvania, and I'm assuming other states are doing this as well, our state lawmakers have kind of moved to action because of the opioid crisis.
Yes,
they are.
And I think that's a good trend that we're seeing. As you know, Oregon a couple of years ago passed an integrative pain management initiative mandating that treatment of chronic pain syndrome has to be integrative. And so I think this has forced us to back away from dependence on medication, at least in that area, and I'd like to see it happen and with other conditions as well.
It's also going to be mandated in medical schools here in Pennsylvania.
Yep.
Under the new
Great.
Legislation. And many hospitals now I'm seeing, I guess on their own, they are setting limits on the number of refills. And again, this is a reaction mainly to the opioid crisis. But
yeah, if you look historically, you know, that it swung back and forth, and we have patients either being overtreated or undertreated. Physicians, you know, prescribe these things recklessly, then they back away from them. Meantime, the companies that make them are making vastly more than we need medically, so a great deal of this is diverted to the black market, and everybody knows it.
What do you think of the overall reception these days of natural health and healing? You've been at this for decades.
Sure.
Really.
Well, I think the consumer movement for that is growing, and within medicine, integrative medicine is really gaining traction. There's you know, almost half of the nation's medical schools have joined a consortium for integrative medicine. I think this is the future, and I think more and more patients. Now, I hear people say all they do is give you drugs. I think many patients are looking for other ways of managing conditions as well.
There will be listeners who have not picked up any of your previous books, Dr. Weil. They'll want to know, is Mind Over Meds your latest accessible? Can the average person understand this?
Absolutely. This is written for everyone. But I have to say I hope that medical professionals and healthcare providers will read it as well, because I think the information in it is vital for everyone.
I'm assuming that most, if not all, of your previous books are still available?
They're all available, all on Amazon. Amazon and in most bookstores.
He's Dr. Andrew Weil, MD, folks. His latest book is called Mind Over Meds, Know When Drugs Are Necessary, When Alternatives Are Better, and When to Let Your Body Heal on Its Own. Dr. Weil, nice to meet you. Nice to talk to
you
today.
Nice to meet you. Thanks for having me.
Sure, sure. So long now.
Okay, bye-bye.
There are two distinct periods in music history, the big band era and doo-wop. Put them together and you've got yourself one swinging night of entertainment. The 16-piece Pittsburgh doo-wop big band with vocal accompaniment will feature tunes from the 50s, 60s, and 70s. Doors open at 6, showtime 7:30. Saturday, May 20th on the stage of Butler Intermediate School. Tickets are only $20 and can be picked up at Mays Music Store, Natilly's North, or Tanglewood. Online, PennTheaterButler.com. Proceeds benefit Penn Theater Performance Company.
Pennsylvania's child protection laws have changed to help us better protect our children. Pennsylvanians who work or volunteer with children may need to get their child abuse clearances. Many of you know who you are, yet there are many of you who don't. You may be a little league coach. You may be a nonprofit employee mentoring youth. You may be a student teacher. If you're not sure, there's an easy way to find out. First, go to this website, keepkidssafe.pa.gov. Second, find out if you need clearances. Then, apply online. Getting clearances is easier and less expensive than ever. Pennsylvania means business when it comes to protecting our children, and obtaining clearances is one way to ensure their protection. We need to take this seriously. So do your part. Find out if you need your child abuse clearances at keepkidssafe.pa.gov.
Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, Tom Wolf, Governor. Paid for with Pennsylvania taxpayer dollars.
Welcome back, folks. Nice to have you with us on a Monday, gorgeous Monday. And nice to chat with Andrew Weil. You know, I've seen that guy on TV a long, long time ago, and I've seen him many times, actually, on TV. Andrew, you know who I'm talking about, right? The guy we were just chatting with on the phone? He's the guy with the white beard, like the Santa Claus beard, you know? Mind Over Meds, Andrew Weil. Our next guests are with us here in the studio, and we're going to be talking about the Northwest Pennsylvania Growers Co-op. Let's say hello to our guests, first of all. Amy Filson is here. Amy, nice to have you.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and also Kimberly Donovan. Kimberly, same thing. Nice to have you here as well.
Glad to be here. Thanks.
Boy, what a day we picked to have you folks on. If this doesn't make you think about getting out and digging in the dirt and planting your vegetables and tending your flowers and getting ready to enjoy springtime, you need help if this day doesn't do it for you, huh?
Yeah, I'm just itching to get out there, but I'm here in the studio instead right now. So hopefully when I get home, I can get out there a little bit.
I think the problem is because the first half of May was so lousy. You know, weather-wise, I mean, it was windy and cold and wet and stormy, sometimes all of those things in the same day, and now I think we've turned the corner here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, listen, first of all, Northwest Pennsylvania Growers Cooperative. Amy, what is that?
Well, we are a nonprofit cooperative, farmers cooperative, and we're based around Mercer County. Some of our farmers come from Butler County and Venango County also.
Mm-hmm.
We have about 18 farms that are part of our cooperative that goes up and down a little bit as the year goes on.
Mm-hmm.
And we all grow natural farm products. We grow produce, all naturally, non-GMO, no pesticides or herbicides. We raise different meats, beef, poultry, pork. We have maple syrup and honey and just the whole gamut of farm products that we offer our customers.
Mm-hmm.
And we deliver CSA shares, which is it's a pre-purchased share of the farm produce that you get for the whole season.
That stands for Community Supported Agriculture, CSA?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
We also call it a farm share.
Okay.
So it's a weekly share that we deliver to several communities around Northwest Pennsylvania, and one of those is Butler. And we deliver weekly during the growing season from June through November.
So how do you become a member, Kimberly? How do you purchase a share? Do you buy a share? Is that what you do?
So I'm actually not a farmer. I'm actually one of the members, and I've been a member for probably about 10 years of this cooperative.
Mm-hmm.
And the cooperative has a website, and you can just sign up through the website, and you can pay in installments, and you are technically supposed to be paid up by the time the CSA share starts in June. Mm-hmm. But we have other options too. Like there's a share that doesn't start until July, for example. Mm-hmm. So there's more than one share option, and the website does explain all.
So obviously, the smaller share would be less of an investment, right? Mm-hmm.
It would be less of an investment mm-hmm. than a larger share. But there's just two people in my family, and we get a large share, mm-hmm. and I actually end up buying more too. Because
really?
If you eat veggies, you know this is the time, summer.
Don't you think this is our society is evolving toward more healthy eating generally, Amy?
I think it is very much so. More and more people they're finding health issues, and they're finding that eating healthy food will help deal with those health issues. Mm-hmm. And just the knowledge that's available out there about healthy eating, it's becoming more widespread.
And people are, once you buy into this, and how could you not, quite frankly, then you want it to be as fresh as you can get it, right? Locally grown if possible. And did I hear you say that it's all organic?
It's not certified organic, but we grow organically.
Oh, what's the difference?
A certified organic requires a government certification. They come and inspect your farm, and you have to abide by certain rules that you can't put dirt, certain things on your crops, on your fields.
Mm-hmm.
But we grow that way just without the government stamp of approval.
Hmm. You know, I have a guest whom I visit with usually two or three times a year. He's Doug Oster. He's a Pittsburgh TV personality. He's the organic gardener. Mm-hmm. He goes by. Have you heard him? You seen him?
Yes.
You know, Doug Oster. He was with us last month, I guess. And he practices this now for plants and vegetables. I mean, he's organic the whole way around.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And he also said non-GMO.
Right.
That's genetically modified. What does that stand for anyway?
Genetically modified organism.
Oh, thank you. No wonder I couldn't get the last one. Organism. So no GMO products.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what is that? Is it seed? You get GMO seed or plants? Or?
Right. Some seeds are GMO. The certain entities have changed or altered certain seeds. They introduce foreign things into the seed, mm-hmm. sort of like BT corn. They inject a different substance into the corn seed so that it can fight a pest that comes to corn.
Is that safe, or some people are leery about it, or some people just don't like it? Or
some people believe it's safe, but many people believe that it is causing health issues.
I see. Mm-hmm. So we'll leave that where it stands.
Right. I'm sure you do your own research.
Yeah. That's, we're not making a judgment on that here today, at least. But if you prefer not to, then there you go.
Right.
Yeah.
It's something that's important to our farmers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is that different? Listen, I don't know much about this. I don't have a green thumb. I love plants and vegetables, and I putter around in the garden. I couldn't say I do any more than that, quite frankly. But a lot of folks would say, well, you know, we have hybrids. We've had hybrids for years. Is that different from GMO? I don't know.
Yeah, it's very different because hybrids occur in nature. It's two plants cross-pollinating.
Okay.
But genetically modified is in a lab. They're putting a gene, injecting it into that seed.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually quite different.
So that's even far different than from our old friend that we studied in school, Luther Burbank, who would, you know, do hybrids and stuff like that. They tie branches on trees. I can't remember. There's still the pictures of them doing that. But that's not genetically modified.
Not at all. No, it's very different.
Obviously not back in the Luther Burbank days.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So does produce locally grown using organic principles and non-GMO, does it taste better?
We believe it does.
Mm-hmm.
It has a richer, deeper flavor, and also it's much more fresh. For example, if when you buy produce in the grocery store, a lot of it is flown in from California or South America, and so it's sometimes weeks old before you get it to your home. But ours is picked, it's harvested that week, usually a day or two before you get it, and so it's quite fresh.
So I'm going to make sure everyone knows just how this operates. So you buy a share, either a full share, small share, whatever you want, and that you're good for the year, right, once you pay your advance fee. And then you would bring, let's use Butler as an example. There would be produce delivered to Butler once a week? Is that
yes.
how that happens?
Yep. We put each person's share in a box,
mm-hmm.
and then we deliver the boxes to our location in Butler.
Is there a central location for this that would people would they'd learn about whenever they signed up?
Mm-hmm. The place that we deliver in Butler is Lisa's Natural Path
mm-hmm.
on Route 8 north of town.
Yeah, right at Mercer Road. I know where that is.
Right.
Yeah.
And so we deliver everything there, and then they take care of distributing it. All the customers, all the CSA members will come that day on a Wednesday every week and pick up their box.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How big a box? Depends on what share you have, I guess.
Depends on the size of the share.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Small share, smaller box, full share.
Exactly.
Like Kimberly has. Big box.
It's a pretty big box.
Now, what's in the box every week? Depends on how late into the season we are.
Exactly.
How the crops were going at the various farms that participate. It's what, like 20, 25 farms, something like that?
18 farms.
18 farms? Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. So it depends on what was harvested that week, I guess. Huh?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yes.
CSA helps you learn what really grows in season because tomatoes are August. They're not June. That would be one example. And actually, they taste better in August than any other time of year. Even the tomatoes that are grown, let's say, in a greenhouse and you get them in June and July, they do not have the flavor of the sun. That happens in August. So that's kind of the beauty of it. You're learning what's growing in season. You have a diversity of diet because you're not eating the same thing every week.
Mm-hmm. You know, tomatoes would be a good example, I think, of taste because you can't beat the taste of a freshly sliced homegrown tomato. I feel like one of Pavlov's dogs here. My mouth is watering just thinking about it. I can't eat tomatoes in the wintertime, quite frankly. I don't care where they come from. And where do they have those kind that are grown in water? Or at least I assume they are.
Hydroponic.
Mm-hmm. Is that what it is? Grown in water? That's what it sounds like. They don't have the taste. I mean, you might as well be eating cardboard.
I mean,
that's
true.
It's not quite that bad, but for me.
It is quite that bad, actually.
Yeah. Whereas a homegrown tomato in season, yeah, you don't even need it as an extra on a sandwich. You can just slice it up on a plate and, you know, I am starting. My mouth is watering now, yeah. So, but some stuff comes early. Lettuce, for example, right?
Yes.
It's a mm-hmm. colder weather. Vegetable.
Right.
Many farmers have planted lettuce already weeks
right.
ago.
Yeah, we're harvesting lettuce right now. We hope to have lettuce throughout the whole season because some of our farmers, they do different things like with shade cloth or planting it in shady areas because in really hot weather, lettuce often gets bitter. And so if they shade it and it's not too hot, then it stays sweet.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about the Northwest Pennsylvania Growers Cooperative. We have Amy, who is you're one of the organizers, one of the growers?
Yes, I'm a manager.
Whereas Kimberly Donovan is a member. She's for a long time, Kimberly?
Yeah, I think almost from the beginning of the co-op, and I think it's been around for about 10 years. I used to do farmers markets
mm-hmm.
before that.
Mm-hmm.
But CSA is a lot easier because it's already figured out for you for that week. You just have to be willing to be creative. Our CSA provides a lot of recipes. I don't really think it's scary at all because you just have to be willing. It's like Christmas. You open the box. You see what's in it. You look at the recipes, and you have to cook, essentially,
mm-hmm.
Unless you want to eat everything raw, but that wouldn't taste good. So you have to be willing to cook, but
actually,
I think
there's
it's
a lot
easier.
A lot of vegetables that I like raw.
Yeah, there's a lot that you can eat raw, but not everything.
Mm-hmm. I was turned on spinach for much of my the first half of my life, because the way that I was first introduced to it was the way most people were, I think, probably. I'm a baby boomer, so we had this frozen spinach that came out of, I don't know, some kind of carton, and it was the ugliest, grossest-looking thing. It looked like rotten seaweed and tasted even worse. And as a result, I didn't like spinach, didn't eat spinach until much later in life when I had a spinach salad. And I said, this stuff is terrific. Well, what am I missing? Well, I was missing a lot of good nutrients is what I was missing, right?
That's true.
Yeah. Can you grow spinach around here?
Yeah, we actually this CSA does a spring share and a winter share. So we're in the spring share right now. And we have spinach and arugula, watercress, lettuce, rhubarb. I'm trying to think of our share last week. It's probably a lot
of green onions.
Green onions and green garlic.
Right.
Last week.
Mm-hmm. I don't know about green garlic. I don't think I've ever heard of that. That different from white garlic?
It's a young garlic. We make it young before it has a head. So it looks similar to a green onion, but a little larger.
Mm-hmm.
But it has the garlic flavor.
Well, that's something else.
And we had ramps, too. Have you ever heard of those?
Come again?
Ramps. R-A-M-P-S.
Well, there's a ramp to get on the turnpike or I-79. About the only kind of ramp I know.
I think you would like this kind of ramp.
What is it?
It has a bulb, kind of like a young onion, and a green on it, and it's garlicky tasting.
Oh, so it's a tuber. It grows in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
You pull it out.
It's a wild plant. We forage it out of the woods.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. And you cook it?
Yes.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Put it in an omelet. It's very yummy.
Mm.
And they're only available for about a month every year.
Green onions. You mentioned those. Scallions. That's another name
for them.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, they're great. Chop them up. Put them on a burger. Are you allowed to eat burgers if you're eating organic?
Of course.
Oh, okay.
Our CSA actually has meat, too. So it has, you can get, I actually have a ground beef share, too.
Now, how do you, is that a different share if you're going for the meat?
It is a different share.
So you have to be a little bit more specific about your ordering there, as opposed to just a small box or a big box?
You're right. There's veggie shares and there's different meat shares plus egg shares.
Eggs?
Yes.
Can eggs be, is an organic egg different from a regular egg?
Very much so.
Really?
Our chickens, they're out on pasture, so they get to roam around and scratch and eat bugs and eat green plants just like they were meant to.
Mm-hmm.
Most grocery store eggs, the chickens live their whole life in a little cage, and they never see the sunlight. And so our eggs have a much richer flavor, and they're much more nutritious.
You know, the first time I ever came across this, I was in Ireland, actually. I'm driving down a small country road, Boreen, and there's a sign there, free-range chickens.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know what it was. Free, what does that mean? Well, eventually I asked somebody, I figured, of course, I understand what it means now. The chickens roamed free.
Right.
They weren't kept, in a cage all the time. And they had free-range chickens, free-range eggs.
That's right.
They taste different, too?
They do.
Really?
Yep.
What about the meat? This would be the feed that's fed to the animals?
Well, a lot of the animals for the beef, they're actually on pasture most of the year.
Okay.
And then in the winter, that's when they might supplement grain, but it would be non-GMO grain that they're supplementing.
Mm-hmm. And there's definitely a different taste from between grass-fed beef and grain-fed. I've experienced that myself.
Yes.
You can tell that instantly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hey, we'll take a break. We have more to talk about with our guests. Nice to have Amy and Kimberly with us here today, talking about the Northwest Pennsylvania Growers Cooperative. Generally operates in, Mercer, Venango, and Butler counties. Generally those three, right? That's where most of your growers are. And those counties all kind of come together there up in a point, so that would work. We'll take a break. Be back to talk more with our guests in just a moment or so. By the way, don't forget, tomorrow we welcome back, and he hasn't been with us for a while, but thank goodness he's going to be back with us tomorrow. Ask the Veterinarian with Dr. Dennis Damon. on tomorrow's program. One of the things we're going to be talking about, how smart are dogs? It's a big feature story in Time Magazine this week. We'll talk about it tomorrow and other things too. Okay, back to chat with Amy and Kimberly right after these words and your afternoon lottery numbers from Harrisburg.
Midday lottery numbers for you today. The pick 2 is 2626. The pick 3 is 825825. The pick 4 is 3262. The pick 5 is 82032. And the wild ball for each of those is 2. And the treasure hunt, 3, 8, 17, 18, 25. And the estimated jackpot for tomorrow's treasure hunt, $10,000.
Moving from my home of 50 years was a little scary, but I wasn't safe at home anymore, and my daughter with her busy life, children and grandchildren, it wasn't fair for me to expect so much from her.
We looked together to find a new home and discovered New Haven Court at Clearview.
What made the difference were the employees and the residents we met. The residents said it was a great place to live.
New Haven Court at Clearview, a great place to live because it's a great place to work. 888-261-5753 or visit IntegraCare.com.
The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location, downtown Butler, to talk about pre-arrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary. And the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler. Welcome back, friends. We're talking about the Northwest Pennsylvania Growers Cooperative. For short, let's make it the Northwest PA Growers Co-op. Would that be okay?
That's what we call it.
<It's okay. laughs> The full name is quite a mouthful. Speaking of a mouthful, let's talk a little bit about the price here. Amy Filson, is this tremendously expensive to participate in this co-op?
It's really not. If you compare it with grocery store prices for similar produce, it's really not that much more expensive or any more expensive on a lot of things. And over the course of the season, it averages out. Depending on the size of your share, you're going to be paying anywhere from $10 to $26 per week. And so that's, you know, if you go to Starbucks and get a coffee a couple times a week, you can afford really good, healthy produce for your family. Or if you have a cable bill, it's not any more than that. So it's very affordable, and you're not adding an extra expense to your budget. You're just replacing some things that you're buying at the grocery store with local products.
Mm-hmm. And we're not knocking grocery stores. You even, Kimberly, you said you augment. You have to buy some stuff at the grocery store, and there are other things too.
Well, sure.
Vegetables, obviously. So how do you sign up for one of these shares? Can you do that online? Do you have to call somebody? Do you have to go in person and sign in blood, or what do you do?
Well, the best way would be to go to our website.
Mm-hmm.
It's www.nwpagrowers.com. And all the information is there. It has, we list all of the different types of shares, the pricing, the dates that are available, just all the information that you think you might need. And then if you have any questions after looking that over, you can click on our contact page and send me an email.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, you can just Google, which is what I did this morning, Northwest PA Growers Cooperative, and mm-hmm. you'll get to there. You have a pretty extensive website, by the way.
We do, yeah, yes.
Yeah. So who's the webmaster?
That's me.
I had a feeling that might be you, Amy. In fact, there was a pull-down from your pull-down menu. It said, was it news, I think, or news and blogs. And you wrote an article there.
Yes. Yes, I do.
So this just gives people a feel of what happens at the co-op and so on and so forth?
Right. Well, every week on our CSA delivery day, our pickup day, I send an email out to all of our CSA members, and that includes a little bit about what's going on our area farms, a little bit, and also a list of what's in your share that week with some explanation if there's anything that somebody might not recognize or not be familiar with, and then several different recipes to go along with your share. So that helps people if they're not sure of how to use, for example, ramps, like Kimberly mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
I always give recipes for those. And then we also, on our website, if you want to see what comes in the shares, we have a photo gallery of a couple of different years of CSA shares. And so you can see pictures of examples of what might come in your share.
That would be very helpful for people who are trying to decide what they want to do. And actually, from what I read, I'm no expert here. Kimberly, I rely on you because you've been a member of the co-op for a while. I've read wire stories that say color is a good indication of healthy vegetables and fruits. Deep color, usually pretty good.
That's true. And diversity of color, too, I think is good, too. And diversity of just what you're eating.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to just be eating lettuce and spinach all the time. Which, if you think about going to the grocery store, we normally buy the same things.
Well, that's true. I've read stories about that. And you know, when you get to a certain age, you definitely buy the same thing. I mean, people buying the same brand of paper towels for decades, you know? It's kind of like you get ingrained in you there. So diversify a little bit, you're saying, huh?
Like, you're diversifying what you're eating just because you're getting different things. But with the cooperative of farms, it's different farmer soil, too. So it's a diversity that way,
yes,
right? Because you're getting the foods being grown organically, so you're getting the nutrients from the soils, too. Plus, you have a diversity of farms. So it's building your health in more than one way.
Do you get any indication of what's going to be in your box every week, or is that just kind of by Monday and Tuesday when they're putting everything together? That's when they make the decision.
We don't usually tell our members what will come in their box, but there's a little bit of a good indication because we have a web store also that's open over the weekend, which is an online ordering store, and those items are delivered the same time as the CSA shares. It's where our members can get extras. Like if they say, oh, I need extra lettuce this week because I'm having a family gathering.
Oh, okay.
And so then they can order extra. And so the things that are listed in the web store will often be in their boxes, but not always.
Mm, that web store is just for members, by the way, right?
Right.
Yeah.
But you can also just be a web store member, too. So if you feel like you want to eat local, but you're just not sure about making that commitment. Although we have a lot of different share levels, so you can get a pretty small share if you're feeling, you know, you might be overwhelmed with too many vegetables. But you also just can be a web store member too. You pay a small fee to do that.
Has the number of growers increased in the decade or so that you've been in operation, Amy?
It has. We started out with, I think, 6 or 7 farmers. And it's grown to 18. At one point, we had up to 20. But, you know, farmers come and go a little bit as their needs change for their farm.
Well, people are paying a lot more attention to nutrition these days than they were even a decade ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and certainly 20 years ago.
And we have some members who they have their own garden, but they don't grow a large diversity of crops.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of them will join our web store to augment what they have in their garden, or they'll buy a smaller share and have their own garden produce also.
Ties into what Kimberly said a few minutes ago. Probably grow the same things in your backyard garden every year.
Right.
Maybe even the same kind of corn or whatever. Well, listen, this is healthy eating. And if you're so inclined, you can get more info on the website. The official website, again, Amy, is what?
NWPAGrowers.com.
Mm-hmm. Or, as I said, if you didn't get that or you're in the car right now, Google Northwest PA Growers Co-op, and you'll get there, because that's what I did this morning, actually, when I was looking for a little background information on the co-op. Well, gosh, nice to have you here today, and nice to chat about this. This is good.
Thanks for having us, Dave.
Yeah,
we were glad
you.
To come.
Amy Filson is one of the growers and manager.
Mm-hmm.
And Kimberly Donovan is a longtime co-op member, longtime share buyer. Coming up on tomorrow's program, Ask the Veterinarian. Tomorrow, Dr. Dennis Damon is back with us. We're also going to be talking about fostering kids, foster families. We'll talk with a couple who has done quite a bit of that, actually. And I was just reading on The Wire a week or so ago about the incredible increased need for foster families due to, in some cases, the opioid crisis that we have, where kids are tragically have to be temporarily removed from a family because of problems there with the parents, drug problems, need for foster families. We'll talk with TJ and Jennifer Men about